Hey everybody, this is Pastor Jay here at the Liberty and Faith Podcast, and I just want to thank you for joining me. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit this morning about living for God and how to apply the things that you know about God to your life. It's so very important. It's something that is, as I have said to our Bible study group, it's something seriously lacking in today's church world. Churches concentrate on gaining trophies and seeing people get saved, but spend no time at all teaching people how to live for Christ. But I wanted to bring something to your attention as we get to walking in the Word. This is in John chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. I'm going to read this account to you. There's so much going on right now. We need to be keeping each other in prayer. A lot of sickness right now. This pollen count is out the roof. A lot of people have bronchitis, allergy-related sicknesses, upper respiratory infections. I mean, there are so many people that's sick right now. Tammy and I have been sick for quite a few days. We are getting better now, and we're thankful for that, but we need to really lift each other up in prayer. And there's so many other things going on out there that people need prayer for really bad. Lift each other up. We need to especially be praying for one another in these last days that we're living in. There is so much going on in the world right now that we are living in the perilous times that are spoken of in the books of Timothy. Spiritually perilous times is what I'm speaking of. Things are really topsy-turvy, and it's a very easy time to become engaged in this spiritual warfare and have a negative impact on you. You've got to be prepared and living with Christ Jesus, keeping your hand in His hand. Keep yourself rapture ready. I want to really make that clear. Keep yourself rapture ready. I believe we are at the moment where when Christ could split the eastern sky, call the church home, snatch us out of here as told to us throughout the scripture. It is time. We know what's going on in Israel right now. We know what's going on in our own country. And the absurd has become the normal. It is unlike anything that I have ever seen. In my lifetime, I am 55 years old. And in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. I can remember back when I was a child and things was quote unquote normal. And you could count on that normalcy, as it's been said before. But right now, the absurd is normal. The crazy is every day. And you have got to be locked in on Jesus so that you don't get caught up in it and so that you don't become desensitized to these crazy things that's going on in the world today. All of this craziness, keep your hand in Jesus's hand. Keep a watch on your family. The Lord is coming soon. Please, be rapture ready. But I'm going to be talking out of the book of John. But before we do this, I want to have prayer with all of us, all the sickness going on, everything happening in the world today. Bow your heads with me right quick. And let's get serious with God and really get serious with our faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord. We love you so much. I pray for every person listening to this, God. There is so much going on. People sick, afflicted, Lord, these strange diseases, Lord, and viruses that are in our land. Lord, we just ask you to protect your people, Lord, to build a hedge of protection around the true church. The true church, meaning those who are truly saved, truly in your will, truly who have been born again. Protect us, guide us, and lead us by your holy hand in these dark days. Give us holy boldness in which to speak the gospel, Lord, to people, Lord, and to make them to understand the perilous times in which they are living. And, oh, Lord, we feel the days of Noah, Lord, and Lord, as the doors were beginning to shut on the great boat, Lord, and people didn't understand, Lord, that they were about to perish. And Lord, it is this way in these days in which we are living, spiritually speaking, the doors are closing, Lord, and people don't understand that they need to get on board the ark of safety and avoid certain death and tragedy, God. Lord, I pray that you would open people's eyes and hearts and minds, that they would receive this, God, that they would understand this, and they would put off the old things, Lord, and put on the new. And Lord, we just ask you to guide us and lead us through this little sermon that you've given me for everybody today. And Lord, and bring truth, Lord, and power it by the Holy Spirit and the anointing. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was walking in the Word and just looking around, and I've been preparing for our Bible study when we are going to be looking at the Apostle Peter, I also wanted to look at John's writing here in John chapter 1. It's just so interesting to me. I've said this many times, how Jesus was in the world, it says in verse 10, chapter 1, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But listen at this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now I want to read that same scripture out of the NLT so that we can gain full understanding of what's being said here. I want to say it again. He came into the world that he created. I love this. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. I love that. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. That is so important right there. A birth that comes from God. So the Word became human, in verse 14, and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love, and that's grace, and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only, one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love, that's God's grace, and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. What an announcement by John, but a birth that comes from God. Man was locked into this life that he couldn't get out of. He was walking in sin and in carnality. Before Jesus came, we were living one life, the natural life, the life of being a fallen person, someone who was not redeemed in heart, someone who was not right with God from the very beginning of their life. We start this life off as a child and we are not judged as children. We are innocent. But as we grow into adulthood and into knowledge, we become guilty because of the sin that we have inherited from our forefathers. We live in that sin, and we don't know how not to live in it, out of it, I should say. We don't know how to walk any other way because we are born into that. And so therefore, we stay locked in this prison cell of being fallen, spiritually speaking. You remember the days. If you're saved and you're listening to this, you remember the days before you were saved. And Jesus had to come to unlock us from that prison, to unlock that prison cell and release us from that prison. He had to come and bring us to the life that we were meant to live. We weren't meant to live in this carnal world as a fallen person. That's not what God created us for. It's what happened to us in the beginning, in the garden, and we inherited that trait from our ancient forefathers. But it was not meant to be so. So for you and I, there is a life, a birth that comes from God, and we have to experience that in the day in which we're living. If you haven't experienced a rebirth in your life, then you're not saved. I want to be totally honest with you and totally upfront with you. This is absolutely the truth. You can't teach your way into heaven. You can't teach yourself how to be heavenly. You have to be reborn by God. They are reborn, John says in John 1, verse 13. They are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. This isn't something that you can do by creating a child. This isn't anything that's done through the plan of men. But John says it best. He says, a birth that comes from God. There is a supernatural encounter that you have to have with God, where God takes your soul and redoes it and borns it again, so to speak. He takes the old fallen you and does away with it and supernaturally resurrects you into the newness of life spiritually. You have to be reborn as a child of God, not as a child of Adam and Eve that we inherited through our ancient genealogy. But this spiritual act is something that comes from heaven above. And when you accept Jesus Christ, believing in him with all of your heart and submitting yourself to him, a supernatural thing happens that you're not in control of. You suddenly change. That's being born again. And now we have to learn how to live in that state. Instead of the original state that we were born in, we now have to live in the spiritual state in which we've been born from God in. Within ourselves. I have heard many people say to me, man, I wished I lived in biblical times when the gospel was being lived out and God's word of prophecy was being fulfilled and people was watching it unfold and Jesus was, listen, welcome to those times. You've got to get this right. You've got one chance. You got one opportunity. And if you keep following the flesh and your fallen nature, man, can you imagine with the information that we have right now, you know, Noah's Ark has been discovered, and I just put this out there on a walking with the Lord. Noah's Ark has been discovered, and we see the ancient boat lying in the mountains of Ararat, and they have even took ground scans, ground penetrating radar of this. They can see the boat's hull, everything. They've even excavated feces and things of this nature from the different animal species that was on board the boat. I mean, all the archaeological evidence is here, but could you imagine living in the days of Noah in this gigantic boat, and you had an opportunity to get on board that boat, but you just didn't believe. You were so fleshly back then that you just couldn't believe that, you know, it had never rained before, and this old man was building this boat on dry land, and everybody was making fun of him, and the door was getting shut, and the last words were, come on, get on board. We don't know exactly what Noah said, but God shut the doors, the Bible says. And then they were not opened anymore. And the clawing and the scratching to get on that on board that boat, I believe as the rains begin to fall and the water began to come bursting forth from the earth, imagine the people wanting to get on board that boat. But it was too late. And here we are having this Noah moment again. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. The ark of safety is open to you. We are asking for you to get saved. We are wanting you to submit your lives to Jesus Christ. You see it happening. The floodwaters are bursting from the earth, spiritually speaking. The doors are slowly closing, and Christ will snatch us away, and then it will be too late. And you will be left behind. What a tragedy. Why? For what reason? Because we love this world more than we love God. Well, I don't love the world like that. I have seen and been born under God's holy power, and I am a descendant now of my Father in heaven, in my soul, and I want to be where He is at. And this world holds nothing for me. And I pray for you that you're ready to be taken. You're living in those moments. I want you to understand it. I want you to see you're living in those moments. You're about to see and experience. You are watching the Bible be fulfilled daily. Oh, would you be ready? You are living right at the moment when Jesus could snatch us away. And are you ready? You know, I've told you all many times that I'm not one of these preachers that get up there to preach you a ear-tickling sermon, but I'm a reality preacher. And God has not called me to tickle ears with enticing speeches, but to reach for the souls of people where you live so that we can put the Word of God into action in our lives. You personally, how you can apply God's plan for you into your daily living. You need to live for God. I mean, every moment. So I want to talk to you about the change that Jesus brings into your life. We had to be brought out of that life so that we were living in. We needed to be saved. I mean, we were living in a dark time. We were living in a fallen way. I can remember the old me, and man, it makes me cringe. I thank God that He dealt with me and that He saved me and that He forgave me, right? So when we do as John says and we accept Jesus for who He is and we submit our lives to Him in true repentance and belief, He changes your inner spiritual man. It's so miraculous. It's the difference between Christianity and any other religion on the earth. No other religion can boast the born-again experience. Only Christianity, because it's the only way. This miraculous change that happens to you is a total rebirth of you spiritually. You are no longer who you used to be, so quit trying to go back to that. It's like you're trying to take the new you and turn it into the old you. This is the battle that goes on. You see, God on one hand takes the old you, crucifies it, buries it, and then resurrects you in the newness of life and wants you to live in the newness of life. But Satan, on the other hand, wants to take the new you and try to make it live like the old you. And you're in the middle there somewhere trying to choose which way you're going to go. This is that spiritual struggle that you need to learn how to deal with. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price, especially when you're saved. You belong to Jesus Christ, and you have to make the choice to live for God and forsake the ways of the devil and the flesh and the old you. The Bible says it's like a hog returning to its wallow. You know, you don't want to go back to that. You're the new you shouldn't want to live like that. There should be a drive in you, a desire in you, a compelling in you to not live the unholy life. So this is the struggle. You know, this is that ultimate epic struggle that's going on within you that you're trying to understand, and that churches just leave go. They don't even look at it. It's just you come in and get your sermon. We want to spend as little time as we can with you. We're going to give you about an hour, hour and a half of some singing and a fuzzy sermon. And then we're going to throw you out there into the ocean deep and let you see if you can sink or swim and you figure it out. Well, that's not what God wants us to do. God doesn't want us to do that. So we got to fill this gap between salvation and death so that we understand how to live and we can get other people saved. It's not only about you, but it's about people that you're going to affect in your life. People that you want to see get saved, your children, your grandchildren, mom, dad, uncles, aunts, grandparents, they will get saved if you learn how to live and learn how to submit your life to Christ so that he can use you to reach other people. This wilderness exists where souls who get saved get left to fend for themselves as the church goes on gathering its trophies. Souls saved so they can give a numerical figure of how awesome they are, and that's a tragedy. While you've been totally changed on the inside, you're a babe in Christ, you need direction from those who have been saved and nurtured in the Word of God so that you can grow and become a grown-up in Jesus. You need to be in the Word. You need to be reading the Word. You need to be asking questions. You need to be seeking God's face and seeking God's will in your life and allowing God to speak to you and you listening to God and then putting it into practice, learning the doctrines of the church and learning what it is that God wants from you. It's very easy. It sounds very complicated, but in all facets of your life, we're going to go through these things in our Bible study so that you can make godly decisions and keep your life in the will of God. It's great, great to go to church and hear these sermons, and I don't want to seem like I'm challenging that. But sermons that bring you excitement and joy offer no insight on Christian living. They're great worship services, but are you learning to live for Jesus? As a pastor of 30 years, my job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. And that involves a lot of biblical explanations so that you can get to the truth and nothing but the truth. It's very difficult for a Christian to learn how to apply the scriptures to their life through a sermon here and a sermon there technique. We want to be very specific. After you've been born again and the dust settles and you get out on the narrow pathway with Jesus, you're going to soon find out there are some things you used to be engaged in before salvation, before you got saved, that God will want you to not be a part of anymore. This is step number one. These things you're going to find out as you're moving on with Jesus. God is wanting to chip away the rough edges so that he can hone you in to being the image of Jesus Christ on this earth so that he can get the rough stuff off of you so that you can live a holy life, so that he can deal with you and you don't have all these things on you that will detract from your relationship with Jesus. These are things when God begins to deal with you on certain things, I want you to do them. When he tells you that you will feel conviction in your heart when you engage in certain things you used to do, and you'll say, man, this doesn't feel right for me to be doing this. Stop doing that. Because God's trying to unload these things that could so easily beset you and your relationship with him. Unload that. Don't ask any questions. You do it. Be obedient. God shouldn't have to give you an explanation for things. God wants obedience. Just do it. And the understanding will come as we're teaching you in this series of Christian living and discipleship. Be obedient to when God wants to sanctify you from different things. So when the dust settles, the very first thing you're going to notice is you'll experience valleys, low spots. You're not always going to be on the mountaintop. You're going to be in valleys. This is where you learn to live in faith and not on feelings all the time. Babies have to have emotion and feeling, and they have to be coddled continually. But God is okay with that when you're first saved. God will coddle you and help you and make you feel on the mountaintop. But you'll notice slowly as God begins to step away from the coddling a little bit so to help you to learn how to live in believing in him and not just feeling him. He wants you to live in faith. Feelings are great and they're wonderful, but faith is even better. And he wants to get you to that place because it's faith that pleases God. It's faith that saves you. It's faith that helps you live your life. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith tells you and compels you and helps you and lifts you up, not emotion. So it's a part of growing up spiritually. But you're going to notice some of the very first things you're going to notice when you get saved, after the dust settles a little bit, you're going to start feeling that God's got some things that he wants you to do differently. After all, you're a new person. And this is a part of living in the newness of life, in the new you. So don't be afraid of that. Engage this. Trust God. Trust me as I'm telling you, I'm an older Christian. And I can tell you from a truth, it is far better to live in faith than to have to need emotion all the time, because you're not going to get emotion. Satan can give you emotions. I love emotions and I love to be emotional in church, but listen, I need my faith. My faith is what saved me. It's faith that will get you through terrible times and mediocre times and real low times and high times. It's faith that you need. Okay? So that's what God's trying to get to with you. So don't be afraid, but trust God. The old you is deceased, and the new you must live differently than what you lived before. Trust me when I tell you this. I know this might sound challenging to you, but if you're truly saved, you will have a burning desire to live for God and to be pleasing to God. You'll want to do things God's way. You're going to always want to be in God's presence because you love the Lord. That's the new you doing that. That's the new you that you want to build up. That's the new you that I'm after with you to help you to understand it so that you can live for God. The Bible says that we should be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In other words, it's what you'll seek and want when your life has changed from now on. When you stop being a descendant of fallen Adam and Eve, and God borns you again from heaven, you get a new nature and a new desire. And the desire that you're going to have is you're going to want to go to church. You're going to want to live for God. You're going to want to read your Bible. You're going to want to see others saved. And that's the cultivation that needs to happen. That's what I'm talking about. That's the new you. Now let's learn to walk in it, okay? In other words, it's what you will seek and want for the rest of your life from now on. So I want to do some extended reading and dissect some things where we're told exactly how to incorporate our new life into our daily living. And this is right out of the Bible. This is right out of the Bible. So be patient with me here. I know this is a lot to listen to, but I want to read to you out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. This is Christian living. This is Paul the Apostle talking to the folks back then and kind of giving them instructions on how to live, right? He gets into talking about the gifts here, all right? And then I'm gonna start in verse 11 of chapter 4, and this is what it says. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The church is you. So you're going to notice as you go along, not only you're going to notice that there's some things God wants you to do differently, some things he wants you to stop doing in your life. Maybe you used to cuss a lot. Maybe you used to drink a lot. You're going to find out that God's not pleased with any of that in your new life, and he's going to want you to stop it, and you got to do that, okay? But there's some other things that he does. He gives people, now you have a gift from God, and you need to discern what it is. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. That's you and me. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. My job, the scripture says in verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Let me say that again. These are gifts God gave to the church. God gave you a gift too, and we're going to get into that. God gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is where I fall into this category here, a pastor and a teacher, an evangelist. God has given me the ability to discern the word. And the Bible says my responsibility in this gift is verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people, you, to do God's work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And Paul says in verse 13, this will continue until we all come to such unity of our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. God doesn't want you to stay a baby in the Spirit. He wants you to grow up in the Spirit so that you can have full and complete understanding of the standard of Christ. Okay? Verse 14, listen to this. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. This is so important because as we grow you up, as I teach you the Word of God, I want you to be complete in God's truth and not be blown about by all these new doctrines. I told the Bible study group, do you know that there are 45,000 different Christian denominations in the United States today? I mean, think of that. But the pagans, Islam, has one belief. Buddhism, one belief. Hinduism, one belief. Christianity, we're blown up out of the water. There's so much confusion. Nobody knows what to do. Nobody can agree with one another. Let me tell you, there's one truth in the Bible, not 45,000. There's one. There's one simple truth. One Lord, the scripture says, one faith, one baptism, one blood, one Lord over us all. It is not 45,000 different ways to get to heaven. That's men and their desire to be leaders and their desire to be followed after. Instead of teaching people to follow Jesus, they want people to follow them. So stop with that. Stay with me here, and let's stay with Jesus. It says, we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Verse 15, he says this, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Man, this is so awesome. It's telling us in plain language how we are to live. Now I want to go on here and I'm going to try to finish this up and I want you to listen to the Word of God. Verse 17, Ephesians 4. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. The Gentiles are considered to be people, pagans, without God. This is what it says about this. These people who are not saved, the Gentiles. The Gentiles were people outside of Judaism. They were not Jews, and we are Jews because we're born again. We are Jewish inwardly. So Gentiles here represent somebody outside of the New Testament covenant. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and harden their hearts against God. They have no sense of shame. Their conscience is gone. Their spiritual barometer is gone. They have no ability to feel conviction, folks. Boy, that's dangerous ground. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Jesus, he says. Verse 21, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, listen to this, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. This is what I was just telling you, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Now listen, this is exactly what I've been telling you. Instead, he says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. This is that new nature that I'm telling you, you need to learn to walk in, that I'm going to teach you how to do this in all facets of your life. He says in verse 25, stop telling lies. This is another thing God wants to get rid of you, get rid of out of you. He wants you to stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Don't sin by letting anger control you, controlling your attitude, controlling your anger. These are things that in the new Christian life, God's going to start shaping within you. He says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. In other words, I've taught this many times, when the sun goes down, what happens? It gets dark outside. Don't let darkness overcome you. Don't let anger take you over. You can forgive. Forgiveness is an act of your will. It's not an emotion. Emotion will come later. You choose to forgive because it's God's will that you forgive. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. See the change? You were a thief before, now you work for a living. Boy, isn't that a change for today's world? And then it says, let me read this to you in its entirety. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. The people you used to take from, give now. See the change? Paul's teaching us to live in the newness of the life that we've been given by God, not resorting, not going back, falling back on the old you. Don't use foul or abusive language. Remember me talking about cursing and things of this. Listen, don't let anything come out of your mouth that will shame Christ. Not in jokes or in jest, but don't use foul or abusive language in any form or fashion. I have heard people use a lot of what I consider curse words down here. I am blanked off, you know, I don't say any words like that. And God help me if I ever did, but it would crush my heart. I don't want to use any kind of language. Words are so very spiritual and powerful. It's how the world was made. Words are things that is the very essence and power of God is the spoken word. So don't let Satan cause you to lose your testimony by you using foul or abusive language, contaminating the witness of Christ within you. And he goes on to say, let everything you say be good, he says. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. You're not going to use foul and abusive language that turns people off and away. Your words, because you're new in Christ, because you're brand new and you're holy, your words will be an encouragement for people to hear. And he says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit within you because you live this life that doesn't match Jesus being your Savior. Remember, he says, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing you that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as every type of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, forgave you. Then he goes on to say this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ, He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Then he goes on to say, let there be no sexual immorality, no impurity, or no greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, people telling obscene things, foolish talk, things that bring shame to Jesus, coarse jokes, bad jokes, sinful jokes. The Bible says these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, no impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. A greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in these things that people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. And listen at this. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Amen. Expose them. So I want you to hear in Ephesians 4, I have been reiterating these things to you. Now that you have this new life within you, now it's time to live in that world and not the sinful world that we were all born into before we knew Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Well, I hope that you're hearing this. And I pray you're allowing the Holy Spirit to penetrate your heart. Open yourself to God and allow God to minister to you. You are living in the last days, so please be prepared. You are living in very satanic times. Satan is on the loose. He knows his time is short, and he is wreaking some serious havoc in the world today. You see it. You see it. You can't believe anything anybody says these days. You look on the computer and it's terrible what's going on around the world, in our country, the homosexuality, the transgenderism, the abortions, people using abortion as a form of birth control. And I mean, it's hideous. You know, people's children in school being transitioned, 5 and 6 year olds trying to make determinations on their sexual agenda. I mean, it's people, grown people being put on the Supreme Court that can't tell what a woman is. Oh, folks, listen. If you can't see that we're living in the last times, you are blind and you need to open your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person listening. Save souls, God. If someone needs to be redeemed, redeem them. If someone has been hurt by someone else, help them. Help them to forgive. Lord, help them to move on so that they can be, Lord, ready for your return. Lord, we just ask you to work your will amongst us, your true church. We love you and we praise you, God. And we thank you for all the good things that you've done for us. And we ask your blessings on every person in Jesus' holy name. Amen.